Last week, we covered ADP for best balls round 1 and 2. Josh returns this week with a guest to cover rounds 3 and 4. This is the Clock Dodgers podcast. Let's talk about it.
Cannot play with him. Cannot win with him. Cannot coach with him. Can't do it.
You played this game.
I mean, listen, we're talking about practice. Not a game. Not a game. Not a game. We're talking about practice.
Down goes Frazier. Down goes Frazier.
Are now locked in to the Clock Dodgers podcast.
Welcome to the Clock Dodgers podcast. It's your host, Neil. I have two guests with me today. Two, not just one, not just me solo. Two guests today. Josh has returned. What's up, Josh?
How's it going, Neil?
Mr. Josh Crocker. Josh Crocker. We talked about ADP last week, so we're going to do it again, but this week we're going to do rounds 3 and 4. However, it wasn't enough just me and you, because we felt like bringing on another person, another guest, and that is Justin Edwards. Welcome to the show, Justin.
What's up, guys? You did the first two rounds with one or two people, and now we're doing 3 and 4 with three or more people.
So. Exactly. Imagine we add guests for every as we keep going.
by the time you get to round 15, 16, it's going to be a whole cluster.
Yeah, exactly. We're going to need a clubhouse for it, right, Justin?
Yeah, clubhouse, which I know everything about, and you can DM me later if you need to know more.
Yes, Josh and Justin are well versed on clubhouse. They were just schooling me off the line, so if you guys have any questions, these are definitely the pioneers to talk to. All right, so listen, Justin, you've been on the show before. You know, you're a return guest. You know how this you know how this works, man. But you know, we're doing a little differently. It's the off season. It's a little more laid back, a little more relaxed. Last week, we covered rounds 1 and 2, as I mentioned, and just kind of we just go down the list. This is Josh is pulling these from Drafters Best Ball, so just kind of provide context for people there. And we did rounds 1 and 2 last week. We just kind of point out, you know, guys that we think are outliers, things that are surprising, whether that they're there or they're not there, or whatever the case may be, who may be missing. After we go through it all, you know, we could even talk about who should have been on this list that's not, you know, just things like that. So we're just gonna have some fun with this ADP. Obviously this is fluid, it's best ball, but it's a fun little science project, Justin. You know what I mean?
I like it. I dig it, man.
Absolutely. So well, let's let Josh, you know, you tell us who's on the list first here, man.
So at the top of the third round, 301, you've got AJ Brown being drafted at wide receiver 8.
Okay, and so let me stop you really quick. So here's my first question already. Last week he was in the second round. So he's already fallen to the third round a week later?
Oh.
I apparently so.
Okay.
I pulled it off.
Do you know who has replaced him in the second round? Like who made it into it now that we're not, you know, covering here? Do you know who's made the jump, or is this too much for you, Josh?
Well, I mean, Antonio Gibson is just ahead of him. Okay. Ridley, Waller, Jones, so, Dobbins.
So I don't think Gibson was there last week when we talked. So I can double check that too, actually, while we're talking here. But I'm pretty sure he's the one that jumped into the second round then. Let me see.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, he wasn't on round 1 or 2 last week. So, all right. So in this scenario, Antonio Gibson has jumped into the second round and AJ Brown has fell down into the third round. Justin, are you surprised by that at all?
Not necessarily. I think this is a good spot for Brown in that turn. Not necessarily in the third round, but if he's in the second, I wouldn't consider him before the end of the second anyways.
Mm-hmm.
I think we've kind of seen kind of where his ceiling is. Not that he's not a great player, but they're going to continue to be that not run first all the time, but they're going to try to have that split to get the ball into Derrick Henry's hands.
Right.
So I don't think AJ Brown has that type of like top five ceiling that you want in like a second round pick. So the end of the second or the beginning of the third is, I think that's perfectly acceptable.
Yeah. And Josh, are you surprised that he's fallen already, or do you think it's just kind of, this is going to keep happening up and down? Or do you think, you know, a guy like AJ Brown may continue to just keep dropping for some reason?
I think he's going to stay around here. I don't see him falling much further. And I really don't think that like ADP has gotten more rational with Antonio Gibson moving into the second round over AJ Brown.
Okay. All right. I just wanted to point it out. Shout out the gate, because I was like, oh wait, didn't we talk about AJ Brown last week? And so it just popped in my head. I was like, wait, this isn't right. I thought either this is an opportunity to point an error out on Josh, or, you know, see what's happening here. So you're lucky you dodged the error bullet there, man. So good on you, man. The next guy on this list, actually, if we have nothing else to say about AJ Brown, is someone that we felt like, I felt like at least last week, where we were talking about certain names of running backs or wide receivers. I felt like this guy should have been on the list over a lot of those guys, or some of those guys, I should say, but it's James Robinson. And I know there's a, like, this, there's a part of fantasy, at least Twitter and the community, that like some really like James Robinson, and then some like him, but they're like kind of holding back because they feel like, you know, he's going to get some competition there. And there's all this, you know, stuff they're like concerned about. Justin, are you like concerned about James Robinson and what may happen as far as his workload, or do you think like he's pretty safe this year?
You know, I at the very end of the season and up until maybe even just a week or two ago, I hadn't bought into the James Robinson. I don't even know if it's a hype train, because he performed.
Right.
It's not like it was all, no one's making this up. Like, he got the ball and he did well when he got the ball. But like, I can't imagine them taking a running back in the top, and at least the first 2 days, and maybe not entirely in the draft. I haven't heard any rumblings of a free agent signing over there. There's no way the offense is going to be any worse than it was last year. And he performed last year. So I've really talked myself into like James Robinson, just in general, especially like in a redraft or a best ball league. He doesn't have the draft capital for maybe a dynasty league. I might not like him as much, but like, he proved that he could do it. He's probably not going to have any more competition than he did last year. His offense is going to be better with Trevor Lawrence. And if you can get him in the third round, do it, because I don't see how he's possibly going to be sitting in the third round and even a month or two from now. He'll be a second round pick.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think it's important to mention that the dynasty part of it, because that is probably where the concern is more at. For the people right. that I see speaking about it, is in dynasty football. In best ball, obviously, it's, you know, it's different. Like you said, it's a little bit more of a comfort with James Robinson there. Josh, who's next on the list after James Robinson?
It's Michael Thomas.
Michael
Thomas. And like, either you're getting a fantastic deal with third round Michael Thomas, or, you know, Drew Brees retires, they bring in somebody, and the same thing that happened to Mike Evans and Chris Godwin happens to Michael Thomas. So, I feel like he's a value there, but at the same time, the second round is pretty early. I know we're in the third, but you know, if I'm gonna move on this, if I'm gonna really act on this, I'm not sure I can take him a lot earlier.
Yeah. I mean, this definitely feels like a value. What's scary and what makes him a value is, like you're saying, the quarterback situation is just, man, it's such a situation that can swing so hard one way or the other. Justin, is there any chance that if you were in this basketball draft right now that you would actually let Michael Thomas fall to the third, or do you want no part of him? Is this even too high for you? Like, how do you feel about Michael Thomas?
Man, it's a rough one. His splits without Breeze they're few and far between, but if Breeze is definitely not back next year, his like Jarvis Landry type of dink and dunk 100 plus 150 target seasons might be in the dust here. So I don't know, like, taking him as a top 10 wide receiver is, it sounds a little blasphemous, but I don't know if I would do it. Like, I think I'd rather wait until the end of this round, even.
Man. Yeah,
Which is just some insane thing to say. It's insane to think about.
Yeah, it is. I mean, Josh, I know you're a big Jameis fan, right? If like Drew Brees is confirmed retired and Jameis is confirmed the quarterback, how do you feel about Michael Thomas?
Yeah, I'd buy him for sure in the third round.
Okay.
I'd probably be looking at him in the second round.
Okay.
I feel that.
Yeah, I mean, it's a real possibility that that's what happens. And if that's what happens, like, and yeah, this is a steal right now. So this is early, and there's so many decisions to still be made in terms of teams making these decisions. So it's like, when you're drafting best ball this early, this is where, you know, you can end up getting a really good steal or something that ends up backfiring bad. But for right now, you know, it feels like, you know, I feel like this is going to play out well for the guys getting him here in this range.
As long as it's not Taysom, we're probably in fine shape.
If that happens, forget it. I have Michael Thomas on some dynasty teams. That'll kill me. I will trade him so fast. Well, it'll be too late at that point. It's a bad situation. I probably should just trade Michael Thomas and not worry about this. Josh Jacobs is next on this list. Josh Jacobs, the ever controversial Josh Jacobs. As a Raider fan, my bias knows no bounds. So I don't really want to, go crazy here. But to me, there's guys in the other rounds that I would not have drafted before Josh Jacobs, but that's obvious. Josh or Justin, are either one of you passionate about either Josh Jacobs' love or hate? Are either one of you want to jump out here?
I would take Jacobs here. Absolutely. That's another guy that I don't see the Raiders adding a name or high draft capital into a running back. And I've never been a huge Jacobs fan, not because I think he's bad, but because of his passing game usage. But I still think he's going to get a huge workload here. I don't see them supplanting him or anything. Yeah. He's still going to be a bell cow, and that's so hard to find.
Let me ask you this, Justin, because me and Josh debated this last week. You weren't here last week, so you don't know. But in the first round, Jonathan Taylor was in the first round. And then the second round, there was Dobbins, Swift. So there was a couple of guys, second year guys, Akers, guys who were coming to their second year. So are you surprised that those guys are ahead of Jacobs? Or do you think you are surprised. Okay. Yeah. I was surprised too. And Josh kind of felt it the same way, but I was kind of curious what your thoughts were on that.
I'm not huge into Akers, and he would have been a second round pick. So I guess we won't hit on him today, but I think I'd put Jacobs right in Akers realm. Mm-hmm. You could probably coin flip Akers and Jacobs for me. I would rather have Jacobs than Dobbins. I don't think Dobbins is going to have that kind of workload. Who was the other guy? It's Swift.
Jonathan Taylor.
Swift is kind of up in there. It's kind of hard to know what they're going to do there, but I might rather have Swift than Jacobs.
Yeah.
By a hair, just because I think he could get a little more passing game usage.
Yeah, I can understand that. Josh, seeing now where Jacobs goes, are you surprised?
After what we I think Jacobs should easily be a second round pick.
Yeah,
I like all of these third round players is the way I'm feeling. The second round is just gross. I mean, you got Hopkins, he's a good pick. DK Metcalf, Justin Jefferson, Aaron Jones. I'm okay with a lot of these, but the running backs in the second round need to be flipped with the running backs that are in the third round.
that is how it looks. Third round pick
am I reaching for in the second so that I can get two of them?
Yeah, it's how it looks. I mean, if we're looking just here at round three, James Robinson, Josh Jacobs, guys that we haven't even spoke about yet, Miles Sanders, Joe Mixon, Montgomery, they're all on this list. And then, last week we were talking about basically all these, Akers, Dobbins, Swift, guys that were just man, I don't know. It feels like people are just getting pretty excited about these guys. We'll see. And I mean, that brings up guys like Miles Sanders and Joe Mixon. I personally am not as excited about those two in comparison to Josh Jacobs. For me, again, I don't know if it's the Raider bias or if it's just the certainty that I feel when it comes to Jacobs and how they'll use them and, how he'll play. Miles Sanders and Joe Mixon have been a little more up and down for me. So I'm a little less confident in them. So I almost understand them being people kind of being iffy on them or being concerned and kind of them falling a little bit. But are both of these guys surprising to you to be in the third, Justin?
Yeah, a little bit. I could do Mixon a little higher than here, but that's a little bit. I have a little Bengals bias there as well.
Yeah.
Where I think their offense has nowhere to go but up, so I might take. I don't mind Mixon here. Sanders is probably a little iffy. I'm kind of out on Miles Sanders. I can't really. I don't know what's going on in Philadelphia.
Yeah, I have zero shares of either of those guys in any dynasty league and in any redraft leagues last year. Josh, are you heavily invested in either one of those two?
I definitely have some Miles Sanders. I feel like this is just a fair price for him.
Yeah.
And the same with Mixon. But James Robinson, A.J. Brown, Josh Jacobs, and even David Montgomery way down at the bottom of the third round. I feel like they're all too cheap.
Yeah. All right. So after those two running backs, we have Keenan Allen. And again, just for context, before Keenan Allen in this ADP, you have Michael Thomas, AJ Brown. You have guys last week that we talked about, which were like Calvin Ridley, Justin Jefferson, Metcalf, Hopkins. So Keenan Allen, man, this seems like value too to me. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
This is another
value. I think this is a good spot for him, honestly. I don't think he's going to be – I don't think he'll finish a lot higher than here, and I don't think he'll finish a lot lower than here.
Yeah.
It's a good spot for him.
Yeah, this would be one of those interesting situations if you look back and you say, like, hey, I was in this area, and I had to choose between Michael Thomas and Keenan Allen and right. see which way that played out at the end of the year.
What a year.
Yeah. Like, one of those could really disrupt or, you know, take you off in a big way. So – this is one of those rounds. Like, Josh, if you were drafting to say fifth in the third round, Michael Thomas or Keenan Allen, which one would you feel more confident today drafting?
Well, Keenan Allen has the floor,
right?
But you know, Michael Thomas has a wide receiver one season under his belt. Yep. Like, that's
true.
I'd probably go Keenan and be a chicken shit.
The thing is, Keenan's proved that he can do it through a multitude of quarterbacks. Michael Thomas really hasn't. I mean, I guess he has, but not if it's going to be Taysom Hill.
Yeah, different coaches, different quarterbacks, like, all, you know, losing running backs, everything. Keenan Allen is, you know, stayed steady. So he's definitely got the, you know, the floor for sure on that one. After Keenan Allen, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, who, if we think about it, at this time last year, I don't believe he would have been third round ADP. I'm not sure. We didn't actually check it last year at this time of year, but this kind of, you know, man, I know in dynasty leagues and stuff, I spent on him, I drafted him, and then it feels like to everybody he was a disappointment, you know, in some sense. So do you feel like, Justin, that this is a good spot for Clyde, or do you think he's getting that Kansas City love and maybe he shouldn't be this high this early?
Let's see. I'm going to project a little more than I should. I'm not exactly a economist over here, but I think this is a decent spot for him. And especially in best ball, I'm going to wait because I think he can fall even further. I think he can fall to the end of the third or even the beginning of the fourth. And if that's the case, I would rather load up on him then. Cause they might just take a guy in the fourth or fifth round. And people are going to lose their mind about it and talk about how CEH is a bust.
Right.
And then I can just get him in the fourth round.
Yeah.
So I think I would rather just wait because I think he'll keep falling.
Yeah.
People are so disappointed.
Yeah. To your point, this is one of the players that, you know, couldn't change ADP a lot between now and the start of the season, depending on what, you know, the Chiefs do. So that makes a lot of sense. That's a good point. Josh, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, man, eight, third round. How do you feel about that?
Like it's just a pick that is never going to happen for me because
right.
I'd rather take David Montgomery. Like, Clyde Edwards-Helaire was inefficient all season long. He was getting the volume pre Le'Veon Bell. He was inefficient with it. So that's David Montgomery. Yeah, I mean, it's David Montgomery on a better offense. You know, Kansas City is going to be a better offense than Chicago is. But then towards the end of the season, we saw David Montgomery get hot. You know, his situation improved. The volume finally started hitting, and Clyde never really did that. I mean, I know he had a good week here or there, but I just never really felt like – I don't know. It's never going to happen because I'm going to take David Montgomery over Clyde.
So you don't seem to have any trust issues with David Montgomery. You feel pretty confident.
It's gross. Like I feel like it's just me finally resigning to the fact that talent, you know, these things don't matter at running back. It's just, do you get the volume? Is your team good enough to make the volume count? That's all it is.
Interesting. Well, right under Clyde Edwards-Helaire is Patrick Mahomes. He's the first quarterback taken in this best ball ADP. The first one. Does this make sense to you, Josh?
No, it doesn't. Like, I just think, like, looking into win rates, I mean, it can work out. You know, quarterbacks can be taken this early and hit, but, you know, just looking at Patrick Mahomes, you know, in the last 3 years, he's finished as the quarterback 1-6-2. And that's really good. But, like, let's just say he finishes as the quarterback 4. You just lost what?
Yeah, you're screwed.
Three rounds of value, yeah. Four rounds of value.
Yeah.
Like, it's just looking at the way that quarterbacks are drafted, the quarterback 1 is so far ahead of the quarterback 4 that it just feels like a huge risk.
Yeah. And there's actually today we'll talk about another quarterback who actually appears in one of these two rounds. So we'll talk more about it then when we get there. But yeah, your point is definitely made and definitely makes sense in terms of if he doesn't produce like quarterback 1 at a high level, then it just feels like the value just totally, you know, evaporates on that. A name that, you know, is a free agent this year, so we don't really know exactly where he's going to land, is Allen Robinson at the 3-point, you know, the 10th pick in the third round. Justin, I'm a big Allen Robinson fan, man. I'm big on this. Are you excited? Are you this excited? Or you feel like, hey, I don't want to, you know, in best ball, I'm drafting right now. I don't know where he's going to go. I'm going to be a little more, right, you know, apprehensive about this.
Oh, man. Speaking of another guy that's proved that he can do it with some, you know, whoever's throwing the ball to him, yep, is Robinson. No, I kind of like this. It just on its head, it seems kind of expensive because we don't know where he's going. But the odds that he's going somewhere with a better quarterback than Mitchell Trubisky is like 90%, right? Like,
yeah,
the Trubisky-Foles tandem combines as one of the worst quarterbacks in the league. So no matter where he goes, and I haven't heard any rumors, I have no idea where he could go, but it's got to be going up, right? So taking him here is, well, as a wide receiver 1 and like the 12, was he wide receiver 11 here? It's okay. I'm not in love with that price, but he's got to have an upgrade.
Yeah, I like this. You know what I mean? Like I said, it's hard for me to hate anything about Allen Robinson. It's hard for me to find a negative thing. You pointed out the fact about the quarterbacks. I just think, yeah, man, like, we don't know where he's going to go necessarily, and it can get weird. Like, he could go to somewhere that's, like, super crowded or whatever, but yeah. I don't know, man. I feel good about it. But, Josh, are you concerned at all about where he goes in free agency?
I'm, you know, I don't really have concerns about Allen Robinson specifically because, like Justin said, it's not like he's been in a great situation. But it's just kind of the history of wide receivers changing teams. Mm-hmm. And it feels like that's gotten better recently.
That's true. That's a good point.
But it just, I don't know. It just feels like a lot to ask of him to change teams.
Yeah.
Unless he just goes to just a fantastic spot.
He might, man. He just might.
But if he does, he's not going to be a third round pick anymore.
That's true. That's true. So someone's getting in on it now.
Right. If he goes to like Green Bay and it's him and Devontae Adams or something.
Oh man.
Like,
forget it.
Probably won't be going at the end of the third round anymore.
Forget it. And just to finish out the third round, we have our first rookie, and then we have David Montgomery. But the first rookie, Najee Harris. This is our first rookie since this ADP started. First round, second round, end of the third round here. Me and Josh talked about it last week. I said, as the draft gets closer, as, you know, players are drafted, as we see where they're going, you know, I asked him, do you think that any of these rookies would actually get into the second round? Justin, you see where Najee Harris goes here. This is the first rookie, like I said, off the board in this ADP. Do you think there's any chance that whether it's him or another rookie, depending on where they land in the draft, can actually get higher than the third round in this ADP?
For sure. There are some places that Najee could go where he could just have full reign of the backfield. I've seen him mocked to like a handful of teams. So people are just throwing darts at the board right now. But something I've seen a couple times is Najee Harris going to Buffalo, and that would be terrible. He would be like a seventh or eighth round pick because he'd go with Singletary and Zach Moss. I've seen that on numerous occasions. And if that's where he goes, his fantasy value is going to be garbage in like redraft leagues. So we'll see. I've seen him go to like the Jets, and that would just be his backfield, and that would be incredible.
Yeah.
He'd be the the bell cow, and he'd be catching passes. He got like something like 60 or 65 targets last year at Alabama. So that'd be pretty sweet.
Yeah,
Buffalo
would
be.
So you're making a good point here about, you know, their variables of Najee Harris and where he could go. It could get really bad, really ugly, really fast, or it could be fantastic. He's probably the most, you know, swing player here next to Michael Thomas as far as like how crazy this could get, like how good or bad it can end up being. I don't think I could do it. I don't think I would draft Najee Harris here. But Josh, would you end up taking a rookie here this early in the third round?
I feel like it's getting tempting at this price, because if he ends up being the first running back to get drafted in the real NFL draft, like usually you don't get that guy in the third round. You know, if he goes in the first round and he's the first running back off the board, which is a lot of ifs, third round is a pretty decent price for that.
Yeah, there's a lot of players I see after Najee Harris here, man, that I think I would feel a little more okay with doing it. So I would definitely not take him here. Justin, would you take him here? Do you feel good at the end of the third, or you think, you know, it's too much risk for you?
It kind of depends, and I know this is probably overstated when we're talking about best ball, but if you have a large enough portfolio and you're doing enough drafts right now, I would want to sneak him in because of that if factor and trying to remain a little anti-fragile.
Right.
So if Najee does go somewhere amazing, you have a little piece. But just on its head, if I'm doing one best ball today and Najee Harris is in the third round, I'm not taking him.
Yeah. And it's important to notice because, again, those things do affect these ADPs in best ball. Last guy, David Montgomery in the third round. Josh, you kind of talked about him already. So, you know, it is what it is there. Again, just, you know, you either like him or you don't. But third round, starting running back, gets a lot of production, a lot of work. So it just kind of makes sense. Let's move on to round four really quick, because this is where things get a little more interesting. The first guy off the board in round four was another wide receiver, and it's Mike Evans, Super Bowl champion. I think this is the first Super Bowl champion off the board. First Super Bowl champion off the board?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, it is. So wide receiver 12, Mike Evans. Josh, is this fine with you, man?
Fourth round seems cheap for Mike Evans, but last year with Tom Brady, you know, this guy went from having like fairly regular 200-yard air yard games with Jameis. You know, I know Jameis is gone, to seeing his air yards like drop in half. And like, I know him and Godwin were a little banged up, but I don't think they're ever going back to what they were in 2019.
Yeah, I mean, it's important to notice that Chris Godwin is likely going to get the tag, the franchise tag, which is what everyone's hearing basically at this point. I'm sure Antonio Brown would be inclined to return. So, you know, there's a lot of weapons here. There's a lot of guys that want the ball. There's a lot of guys who deserve the ball. His teammate, Chris Godwin, is in the round four as well in this draft, in this ADP. So this is gonna be an interesting guy to watch. All the Bucs players are gonna be interesting to watch at wide receiver, because, you know, I think they're all just gonna come back exactly like they were last year. I don't think anything is gonna change. Do you, Justin?
No, I think it's pretty standard. His touchdowns aren't fluky. I definitely agree with everything Josh is saying there, where he's Brady's not trying to uncork down the field like Winston was, but Evans' touchdowns will always be there. He's going to be that prototypical giant basketball player in the red zone. So the touchdowns should have a floor of double-digit touchdowns. He should be fine with 10 touchdowns every year, even with Brady back there. I think this is a good price, though. I think I'd rather have him than Montgomery, Najee, Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah, I mean, last year...
And probably Clyde Edwards-Helaire, so...
Yeah, last year he had 70 receptions, a little over 1,000 yards, 13 touchdowns. He actually had his career most touchdowns last year.
Oh, nice.
So as much as we want to, you know... I mean, he played a full season, healthy. It wasn't the most receptions he's ever had. He's had a season where he almost had 100 receptions. So, I mean, he's had, you know, bigger reception years and some more yards and stuff like that. But most touchdowns he's ever had in his career. So, I mean, that's, you know, it's hard to knock Mike Evans, man. I know he's not exciting to some people. Like, it's just his name doesn't pop off at the paper to you when you look at it. But it's like, man, he's consistent as hell, man.
He's only 27, too.
Yeah.
It seems like he's been in the league for a decade.
Yeah. And one of the only guys who's ever had 1,000 yards every single year he's played. So he's never had a year under 1,000 yards. So,
oh, damn. I didn't even know that.
Yeah. So super, super impressive guy. And I feel good with him here. And this is the guy I'm saying, like, I almost feel like I would take him before Najee Harris last round. I just feel like, hey, I know what I'm getting from Mike Evans for the most part. You know what I mean? In this offense. So I would feel better doing it. Josh, who's next on the list here?
After Mike Evans, it's another rookie running back. We've got Travis Etienne. So
another rookie.
I mean, I felt comfortable with Harris's price. So I'm not going to complain about this. You know, the same thing with Etienne. If he gets drafted in the first round of the real NFL draft, like, I feel like that's usually a first or second round pick. And so I feel like we're getting a little bit of discount here, not knowing what kind of draft capital they're going to have.
Yeah. Are you a fan of him, Justin? Have you done much digging into him?
Not a ton. I've watched just here and there,
right,
like, you know, like highlight style videos, which I, you know, try not to scout off of, but
yeah.
I mean, he's an explosive dude. And if he has the draft capital, he's the kind of guy that can, you know, turn 12 touches a game into something super fantasy relevant. So I think this, just like Josh saying, I think this is a fine price, just like we were talking about with Harris. And then the fluctuation will come once we figure out where he's going to go in the draft.
If you had to make a correlation, do you guys kind of feel like Harris is Jonathan Taylor and Travis is Clyde Edwards-Helaire?
Maybe a team being like a Swift.
Yeah. Okay. Just trying to kind of gauge where you guys feel like these guys are. Not obviously, right. I'm not comparing the players. I'm just saying in general, like, how people feel about them. And the reception.
Right. Yeah.
All right. After him, we have Amari Cooper. This is the first Cowboys wide receiver, right? Yeah, first Cowboys wide receiver. Amari Cooper, the wide receiver 13. You guys, I mean, I've said ad nauseum on this podcast, I am not an Amari Cooper fan. Is it because the Raiders traded him? Maybe. Is it because he couldn't catch a ball and dropped him all the time in Oakland? Maybe. It's possible. Is it I don't like the guy's heart? Maybe. So I'm not going to go any further into the fact that I would not be drafting Amari Cooper here. Are either one of you big fans of Amari Cooper?
No, this is way too expensive.
Yeah, I'm not in on this one, man. Especially when you got, I mean, this is the second. There's actually, in this round, we have two wide receivers from the same team being drafted. We have Evans and Godwin, and then we have Cooper and Lamb. That's interesting. I mean, obviously these offenses, you know, have earned that in terms of these players produced together. It doesn't really prevent anything from happening for them. But in this case, while I wouldn't mind Evans or Godwin, I would rather not have Cooper. I'd rather have CeeDee Lamb. Josh, are you buying into the Cooper thing this year, man?
No, I'm really not. Like, in this round, you know, I'd rather have Terry McLaurin.
Yep. And he comes in right after him.
Yeah. And then even later than that, like, Adam Thielen would be a better pick,
yeah,
for the fourth round than Amari Cooper would be.
Yeah. Terry McLaurin's my boy. He comes in here in the fourth pick in the fourth round. Obviously, things are changing in Washington. You know, we don't exactly know how things are going to play out. We'll see. But McLaurin, again, like Robinson and like these other guys, is a guy who, you know, he's had a messed up situation in Washington. And, you know, it feels like everything's on the upswing, coaches, players, playmakers. We hope things can only get better, but I'm all in on McLaurin, so I'm totally fine with this. I have no issue with this. I think, are we all okay? I mean, Josh, you just said you're okay with McLaurin. Justin, are you a big fan of McLaurin?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, absolutely. All
right,
especially above Cooper.
Yeah.
It's not even a question.
For sure. Josh, you take the next guy, man. I know you're a big fan.
Julio Jones, I don't think that last year's wide receiver 52 finish is by any means the end of Julio Jones, but I'm not taking him over McLaurin or Thielen, you know. And honestly, I don't know, Robert Woods with Matt Stafford throwing the ball is pretty interesting. Like, I kind of want to see what he can do with a real quarterback. So, I mean, even when Julio was okay, I think we saw that Calvin Ridley is the wide receiver one on the Atlanta Falcons.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like I wouldn't bump Julio down too far, but there's an awful lot of good competition in this round.
Yeah, and we talked about Ridley last week. He was in the first round, I believe it was, maybe second round.
He's close to it. I think he's second.
Yeah. So he was up there where he deserves to be. I'm a Julio fan, man. I'm fine with it. I would take Julio before Amari, honestly. That's how much I hate this guy, man. I cannot express it enough how much I don't like Amari Cooper. CeeDee Lamb follows up Julio. I don't think there's anyone who doesn't like CeeDee Lamb on this planet. We all understand how good he is. And if Dak comes back, everything is good. Everyone feels fine about CeeDee Lamb. Chris Godwin, I just mentioned earlier, he's probably going to get the franchise tag. I'm kind of curious, though. Justin, if he doesn't return to the Bucs for some crazy reason, is there really any team that's going to make you like not like Chris Godwin that much?
I don't think so, but I don't know. I just like where he is there.
And yeah, I know. It's so nice, right?
It goes back and forth with the does having a great receiver on the other side help or hurt the player on the other side? And I really think that Mike Evans compliments Chris Godwin.
Right.
I don't think that he'll go somewhere that would like really really affect his fantasy outlook, but I like where he's at. I would prefer for any shares that I have of Godwin that he just stays at Tampa Bay.
I agree. And just get healthy, man.
Yeah.
Too many games out last year is killing me. I have a lot of Chris Godwin shares too, man. All right. This guy that's the eighth pick in the fourth round is interesting to me. I have to highlight it. We have to stop here. We're gonna talk about this because it's the second quarterback drafted, which we just talked about this last round with Patrick Mahomes. And it's not even that it's the second quarterback. That's one part of this. The other part of it is who the quarterback is, and I'm kind of surprised by it. I really want to hear your thoughts on this for both of you. Josh Allen is the quarterback two in this ADP. Fourth round, quarterback two, Josh Allen. Josh, how do you feel about a fellow Josh being here, man?
Even though he has a fantastic first name, I just don't think that it works out. Like, we haven't, in the last 3 years, we haven't seen a fourth round quarterback hit. And this year could be the year. Like, it's not like just because it hasn't happened recently that it can't. But why
is the thing for me too, because and none of, I don't think any of us here would say Josh Allen is bad at football or is not one of the best quarterbacks in football. There's no question about this. But I mean, we just kind of, you know, talked down on Patrick Mahomes being drafted in the third, and now, you know, you follow up with Josh Allen, and like you're saying, why? There's so many other quarterbacks also who are just as good or talented and have special seasons that it's like, why are we doing this? Why are we drafting him here? Like, this is just, it just doesn't make sense to me. Like, can anyone make sense of this? Can anyone give me logic that these people could be using at this point in the ADP?
No.
No, right?
Like, this is absolutely, like, I was all aboard the Josh Allen train last year. Like, after being talked into it, because I was like, no, this guy can't throw. He's one of the least accurate quarterbacks in the league. There's no way he's going to live off of his legs. The last time I saw him in a game in the playoffs of 2019, he lateraled to nobody in the most important play of the game. I'm like, this guy might be an idiot. I'm like, okay. I kind of got talked off the ledge. 4 for 4's TJ Hernandez was all in on him. And I'm like, all right, TJ's smart. Let me follow him. I'll draft him a little bit. And then he produced the quarterback one season, and that's awesome. But we just saw him at his ceiling. And now he's being drafted at his ceiling, and maybe he finishes as a top five quarterback again, but we can get that in the seventh round. We don't have to do it in the fourth round.
Yeah.
So this is, I'm all out. There's no way I'm drafting Josh Allen in the fourth round.
Yeah. I mean, you can hear it in our voices. All of us are puzzled. We're all confused. It doesn't make sense.
Ridiculous ADP.
Yeah. I mean, I get Patrick hype. I mean, Patrick Mahomes. Patrick Mahomes has all this hype, and like everyone loves him, and he's potentially the next, you know, greatest of all time type of quarterback. And so I get like the excitement that gets people riled up and drafting them high. I understand it. Like I get the logic of it all. Even though I wouldn't do it, I understand where they're coming from. With Josh Allen, like, I love the guy. And like you just mentioned, he accomplished a ton last season, but it's like, this just, I can't get behind this one, man. But you know, the Bills Mafia is intense, man. This might just be all Bills fans.
That's true. Don't let them hear this.
Yeah.
They'll be like, oh, that was his floor.
Yeah, they go after you, man. I had a Bills fan like just killing me on Twitter one day, man. Just would not let up. I think he came back like a year later too about something. I was like, all right, dude, come on, man. You've been holding on to this all year for real? Like, they don't play games. Josh, run us down the last four here, man. Let us know what we got.
I just wanted to say, like, last year he was being drafted in the eighth round. And do you know what his win rate was in best ball? 4%.
Like, oh, really? That's it?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Like, I don't know. That honestly doesn't make a lot of sense to me. But I just, it makes less sense for me to jump up and grab him.
Right.
Okay, so the last four, hey, Adam Thielen, which I think is just a fantastic pick there. DJ Moore hurt me so bad. Robert Woods, who is now playing with Matt Stafford and Kareem Hunt.
When he says DJ Moore hurt him so bad, he means it. For anyone who missed or wasn't listening last year, Josh had DJ Moore ranked above Devontae Adams in his rankings on the podcast, on record. We can't. It's not a post he can delete on a website. It's not a tweet he can act like never happened. It's on audio. I'm never deleting the episode.
Josh, no.
Yeah, he'll have to tell his kids about it one day. Everybody will have to know about it. He'll have to live with it forever. The shame. And yeah, here he is again, Josh. DJ Moore popping up on the screen, round four, man. Are you at least proud to see him there still, man?
Yeah, I'm proud to see him there. And maybe he'll make this up to me. Like, can I just say that last year was such total bullshit? You know, like, who the fuck would have guessed that Robbie Anderson was going to come in and steal the show?
It is beautiful. I need to find that clip and bring it back and just keep putting it posted.
No, we don't.
Yeah,
it's like the intro.
Yeah, I'm definitely going to do it. It's definitely. Maybe it'd be one of my first TikToks. You know,
but on this,
talk about feeling like a 50-year-old right. man, like 65-year-old man, whatever. TikTok,
maybe I'll start a Clubhouse chat and just say,
y'all TikToking and Clubhouse.
Get with the times, guys.
Right,
I need you to get with the times. All right, listen, this round four, end of it. Listen, I have some questions as we wrap this episode up. So for me, first things first, round one and two had no rookies. Round three and four had two total. We kind of talked about that the rookies, depending on where they get drafted, you know, how those things play out will affect it. There's guys that could potentially jump into the second round, you know, guys who could potentially get into these third and fourth rounds who we're not seeing yet. So that's, you know, we already talked about that. But what's kind of, you know, we also talked about the quarterbacks, which was something that I was thinking about when I was just looking over this list on my own. Off the air, I was like, okay, two quarterbacks inside this, you know, third and fourth round, and Josh Allen being there, it was just all too crazy for me. But the one big question I come away with here for both of you is, which player in either of these rounds is most likely in third or fourth round is most likely to fail to meet this expectation to you guys? If you just had to pick one, just one, who you're like, listen, I'm totally out on that. Listen, I take the quarterbacks out of it because that's too easy.
Okay.
Just in the third or fourth round. One player that you're like, I would never pick him there, and he's not going to return the value there. Not one of the quarterbacks. Justin, you can go first.
Maybe I'll go with two, because the first one is kind of cheating because it's the last pick in the fourth round. But taking Kareem Hunt in the fourth round, like, let me get in your league. Like, stay in my league.
Oh, man.
All of my leagues. I want to be in 20 leagues, and I want you to be in all 20 so that I know that I don't have an 8% chance of winning. I have like a 12% chance of winning because you're terrible at fantasy football.
Damn.
Get Kareem Hunt the hell out of here. This is terrible. I cannot believe he's this high. But that's the last pick we're even looking at, so that's kind of cheating. Give me I don't think Miles Sanders will be a third round pick. Okay. I think he'll be more of like a fourth or fifth round pick.
All right.
But I'm not as adamant about that one.
Right. No.
The Kareem Hunt one is.
We'll take the Kareem Hunt one. You're passionate about that one. So we'll take that slander to the bank. I like that one. Josh, is there anyone you hate as much as Justin hates Kareem Hunt right now?
I think Clyde Edwards-Helaire might just be the next Marlon Mack.
Hey, don't you dare talk about Marlon Mack in a way like that. That man was starting last year above Jonathan Taylor, if I may say so myself, before he got injured, sir.
And I also feel like we might be looking back at that one wide receiver two Chris Godwin season a year from now and being like, wow, that was really just a special year. Damn.
That could be, yeah.
Because he might not ever do that again. I don't know.
It looks like the outlier right now. Like, I don't think you're off base with that.
Oh, man. Why'd you say Marlon Mack's name? I'm so sad because, like, I was just, you know, somebody on Twitter, you know, tagged me because somebody was like, I don't understand why anyone likes Marlon Mack right now. And someone tagged me like, I don't know, why don't you ask Neil? And I was like, I'm sitting here. I can't even debate with the guy. He's a damn fucking physical therapist or something. And he's like, listen, dude, you can't come back to this with that injury. I'm like, I guess I can't really say shit to you because you're a physical therapist. But I'm like, come on, I don't want to hear that shit. Like, I just believe in him too much, man. All right, whatever. Whatever. I'm going to keep drafting them, guys. It doesn't matter.
That's what I love you, Neil.
Medical experts be damned. I'm going to continue to draft them.
Take him in the 28th round of every FFPC this offseason. Yeah.
Me drafting Marlon Mack is like people not wearing masks when Dr. Fauci's out here like, you know, you got to wear the mask. And I'm like, fuck this. I'm drafting Marlon Mack. I don't care what you experts say. You experts can tell me whatever you want. Unless Marlon Mack comes out and says, I'm retiring, I'm drafting Marlon Mack. That's all there is to it. And he'll be my steal of the draft. While you draft Kareem Hunt in the 4th round, right, Justin?
Yeah, really.
Yeah.
Guys are crazy. Anti-maskers.
How can they tell me not to wear? How can they tell me not to draft Marlon Mack in the last round of a draft, but they're drafting Kareem Hunt in the 4th?
Come on. Right. Exactly.
It's ridiculous. They're equally as ridiculous.
The argument's got no legs.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. Neither does Marlon Mack. Right. It's okay. It's okay. Listen, at each position here, 13 wide receivers. Drafted in rounds 3 and 4 total, 9 running backs, which is opposite from last week's episode, which is first, second round with more running backs. 0 tight ends drafted. That's just the way this works. And 2 quarterbacks. So there was 2 tight ends last week, I think. No, 3. And 0 this week. That's just the way it works, man. No one believes in the tight ends after those 3 guys. But it's almost as ridiculous to put, you know, these quarterbacks up here. You might as well just throw TJ Hawkinson up here while you're at it. That's how crazy that is. One other thing I want to point out. In the first and second and third and fourth, all 4 rounds, only 3 players that were 30 years old or older drafted. This isn't dynasty. This isn't something that you got to play after this season. Are you guys surprised by that? Do you feel like there's some age shaming going on, or do you feel like those old guys just don't deserve to be in the first 4 rounds, really?
Yeah, I think people are pretty terrified of the age curve. Like, sometimes for good reason. Also, like, I didn't really touch on it too hard because I'm not like head over heels about it. But even someone like Julio Jones, like, Julio's Julio. I'll take him until he's not Julio.
Yeah, the 330-year-olds were Travis Kelce, Julio Jones, and Keenan Allen.
Oh, yeah.
They're all 30
plus.
Is
Keenan exactly 30?
Yeah, he was 30. I think Julio's 32 or Travis Kelce's 32. Yeah, they're all kind of up there. So, yeah, I mean, those are only 30-year-olds that deserved to be in the first 4 rounds, according to the drafters over there, man. I would like to find a couple of 30-year-olds to throw in over these quarterbacks. I will tell you that. I'm sure I can find someone. I'll take
Jerry Rice right now over 3
points
in the 4th round.
Oh, man. It's crazy. Is there anything else?
ADP.
Looking at this, is there anything else that you guys take away from this? Anything that you feel like, you know, you at least want to make sure we mention it, that, you know, about a player, about how this draft is unraveling, like anything at all that you guys feel is surprising or surprised that a player isn't on here, a certain player, or like anything at all? Josh, you go first. Anything that you feel like needs to be said here?
Well, the running backs, they get real gross after round 3. It's just, it gets real bad. So as much as, you know, like Josh Jacobs, Miles Sanders, they might not make us real excited. You better get them while they're there, or you're going to be drafting Miles Gaskins.
Yeah, or if we drafted Kareem Hunt.
Yeah.
And maybe Marlon Mack. It might make sense after this. After this
and
round,
maybe Marlon Mack. Yeah.
Because yeah, it gets. Oh man, gets ugly after that. Justin, anything that stuck out to you here? Anything that surprised you that we went over here?
Something I will say, and something I've said for the last couple of years. I did a study a couple of years ago about literally about rookies, ADPs and best ball. And they all, like, 100% of them raise. Like, one, it doesn't even matter where they went. Just as soon as there's an NFL team attached to their name, every ADP raises. So if you do have a special feeling about Najee Harris, or you do think Travis Etienne has exceptional vision and explosiveness, take him now. Because if Travis Etienne is the second pick in the fourth round now, I guarantee if we circle back in May, it doesn't matter where he went in the draft or to what team, he will not be the 402 anymore. So if you like rookies and you have them here now, just take them.
Yeah, that's important to know.
Because they all raise, like, across the board. I promise you, if we hit this, like, make a note of it. If we hit this, it's March, the beginning of March right now. If we hit this back up in the beginning of June, Najee Harris will not be the 311 and Travis Etienne will not be the 402. And it doesn't matter where they go, I promise.
All right, we'll hold you to that. We'll have you back on. And
yeah,
we'll see if Kareem Hunt falls out of the draft.
If Kareem Hunt is in the third round when we come back around, I swear.
He's going to raise in value. He's going to increase.
Oh, man. Get out of here.
He's going to make his way up this list. This is not good enough. He's got to be higher up here somewhere. Just think about it. If someone didn't draft these two quarterbacks, Kareem Hunt might have been higher, man.
I know. He'd be like the 309.
Yeah.
Hell out of here.
So, yeah, we'll have you back when these guys are drafted so we can see how that's adjusted, how that's changed, and see if your history, you know, continues to repeat itself, as you said it always has. Which is interesting, like you said, because, you know, when you're drafting right now, like, you obviously are looking for these kind of things in best ball. And so, I mean, it's an important point to notice. Anything else, Josh? Justin, anything before we wrap this bad boy up? I think we covered
everything. So. I love digging through this. It's been awesome talking to you guys again.
Yeah, this is fun. Maybe we'll just keep doing it. Josh, how far down do you think we can go in this draft, man, where it's still valuable?
I don't know, but we're not there yet.
We're not there yet, right? All right, we'll just keep digging, man. And this, I swear, if we come back next week and these are all these guys are like in the fifth and sixth round, Josh, we're gonna have to relook at this.
He is wild.
You're like, oh, AJ Brown again, top of the fifth round. I'm like, I swear, this is the third time I've said this guy's name on this damn ADP show. I can't keep doing this. So let's hope things change, and hopefully Kareem Hunt actually is in the next episode then.
Oh my god, I hope he is.
Yeah, for sure. We'll see. We'll let Josh put in the work and spend his money, and let us know how this plays out. Josh, is there anybody that you're making raise up on these ADPs that you're just drafting like crazy? It's ruining this whole thing.
It would be, it's like AJ Brown, James Robinson. I'm drafting a lot of David Montgomery, and then like Tyler Lockett's not on here yet, but I'm drafting a lot of Tyler Lockett.
So you're trying to get him into the fourth round for us?
I, you know what? I'm just going to keep pushing the button on him, and whatever happens, happens.
All right. We'll have to revisit this and see how this all shakes out. All right, man. Well, listen, Justin, we appreciate you obviously for joining us. Again, it's always nice for you to return. Let the listeners know, as if they don't know, but let them know where they can find you on Twitter, where they can find your articles that you write, where they can find everything you're doing right now.
Yeah, for sure. Throw me a follow on Twitter @Justin_Redwards. It's just the last name Edwards with an R in front of it. And that's all my stuff. Most of my stuff's popping up on 4for4. And then as the draft gets closer, I'll probably start digging into more offensive linemen coming out in the draft, which is everybody's favorite position to follow in fantasy football.
It's your specialty, man.
It is.
Justin keeps it all nice and clean. You go to his Twitter, you find the pinned tweet that has all his latest articles. This guy doesn't make you search for stuff. He doesn't make you go crazy looking for the article. He keeps it nice and neat.
Oh, yeah. Just right up top.
And I got to plug your Instagram, man, if you're looking for food pictures.
Oh, yeah.
Justin posts food.
By all means.
Food and books. Justin is clutch, man.
Food and books, yes.
Food and books. It's a good page to follow. I don't think Josh is not even on Instagram. We're talking about TikTok and all this other stuff. He's not even on Instagram.
Oh, man.
It's true.
This guy is.
I feel young again.
I have no business on Instagram.
Oh, man. This guy. People from Oklahoma.
Yeah. I know my place.
You never know, Josh. You could be a sensation on Instagram. You never know. Don't limit yourself. But but since Josh isn't on Instagram, he's not on TikTok, he's not on Clubhouse, I don't think he's writing articles anywhere right now. They can find you on Twitter, right, Josh?
Yeah, at JC Crocker. That's me.
And you can find him on Drafters, right?
Yeah, that's right.
Spending all of his money. While you guys are socializing on apps, he's spending all his money on Drafters.
And they're taking it from me happily.
They're taking it from him, and he's giving us ADP. So can't blame him. We appreciate it. Other than that, guys, hit the subscribe button if you aren't already subscribed. Leave a 5-star review. It helps the show. It makes us, you know, it helps people, you know, come to us and go, oh, I never heard of this show. This review looks amazing. I should give them a shot. Follow me at Clock Daughters on Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, and follow me on Clubhouse. Unlike these two guys who don't have iPhones, live in 1990s, and don't want to join Clubhouse. You guys should get iPhones just for Clubhouse.
We'll see. That's how valuable. We're out here like trade VHS tapes.
All right, we're out of here. As always, be kind, be great, keep dodging.